Hello and welcome to another video in the OneNote Developer Videos series. This is Hilton Gisno, and in this video we're going to find out how on the Windows Phone device to access all of the user's notebooks and the sections within those notebooks. An individual user may have more than one notebook that they've got access to via the OneDrive storage. So as an example, this demo user has a default notebook called Demo's Notebook. And inside of that notebook, there are three sections listed on the left-hand side of the screen. The Quick Notes section, which, recall by default, is where new notes will go unless otherwise specified. But there's also a Personal Info, Financial Data, and a To-Do Lists section inside of this particular notebook. But this user has another notebook altogether, something called Work Notebook. And if I go inside of there, there is a Company Info section, as well as a Clients section group. Within that, two subsections, Client 1 and Client 2. Now, we're not going to focus on section groups within this video, but the concepts are identical. So whatever applies to notebooks and sections will apply to section groups as well. But we'll see how section groups and sections are dealt with as we start reading from the API. So let's switch over into Visual Studio. As a starting point for this video, we are going to have the sign-in capability using the Windows Live SDK done for us already. So the Live SDK, as well as the Nutansoft JSON libraries, have been imported via NuGet packages to this application. And in addition, I have a little bit of UI wired up here as well. So I have a stack panel with the Live SDK sign-in button, as well as a button to get the notebooks. You'll notice that it's disabled for now, so once the sign-in is complete, we'll be able to get the notebooks. A text block to go ahead and write out any messages to the user, and then a list box for the notebooks available to the user, as well as a list box for the sections available to the user within the specific selected notebook. Now, if you've followed along with the other videos in this series, particularly the video on how to create a new note within OneNote on a Windows Phone device, then many of the controls and certain aspects of the code later on in this video will be familiar to you. One of the things, for example, to notice is that the scopes have been configured here already. I need to do a sign-in to be able to actually sign the user into the OneNote services. I'm also making use of offline access here so that I can get a refresh token that I can use to sign the user in over a longer period of time without having to prompt them every time the initial token expires. And finally, I have a OneNote create scope that I'm requesting as a permission here as well. Now that's, of course, to go ahead and create the new notebook. In this video, I only want to go ahead and read the user's notebooks and sections. So I can take off the create portion there and just access office.onenote as a permission to go ahead and read the OneNote data. That's the only change we're going to make on the form here. Let's switch over to the code and start actually writing code to call the API and get the notebooks and sections. The pages endpoint may also be familiar to you if you've followed along with the create video in this series. To access the notebooks and the sections, we need an appropriate endpoint for each one of those respectively. So off of the primary API, to get notebooks, we'll hit the notebooks endpoint, for example. But it's important to know that right now, at the time of recording this video, which is late June in 2014, the ability to access notebooks and sections is currently in beta. So we need to specify that the API we're accessing is the beta API. By the time you watch this video, these services might be fully live and hopefully will appear in an unchanged form as well. But of course, it's important to realize that given that it's in beta right now, things may not be in production exactly in the form that you see in this video. For now though, off of the beta API, I can access notebooks directly, and then I can also access sections directly, but in this video I would like to only see sections within a specific notebook. So I'll access the notebooks endpoint on the REST API, then go ahead and pass in a specific notebook ID, which we'll get later in this video, and off of that, go ahead and access the sections in that notebook. So we'll see how these endpoints come into play later. Once the user has signed in, using the sign-in button there, the sign-in has been successful, and the user is successfully connected to the live services, they'll also have an access token, which we'll use later, and finally the Get Notebooks button is enabled. So inside of the Get Notebooks button click is where we're going to start now, but it's going to be async, so let's go ahead and mark it as such. Also, the notebook list box selection changed is going to be async too, so I'll just wire that up right now. Inside of the Get Notebooks button, we are going to call some asynchronous code. So I'll go ahead and create a new method called getNotebooks and go ahead and await on that one returning. First, we'll just write something out to the user, let them know that we are currently doing something. So we'll just put a message into the info text block. And then, being that we're calling the REST API, we're going to fire up an HTTP client object and go ahead and set the appropriate headers. Being that we're using OAuth, we need to go ahead and pass in a bearer access token, which we got from the sign-in button. And then I'll also specify an accept header to tell the API that we want JSON data to come back. Now we need to go ahead and specify a request message. Even though we're not going to be sending any payload, we need to go ahead and specify that we're calling an HTTP GET method on the request message. And of course, we also need to go ahead and specify an endpoint too. So this will be the notebook's endpoint that we defined up above. And then we can go ahead and get the response object off of the client call as well. This getNotebooks method also needs to be async, so let's wire that up. And finally, we can call the send message on the HTTP client asynchronously too. We'll pass in the message, and then we'll deal with the response that comes back. The first thing we'll do with the response is just get the raw payload out of there. So this will contain either an error payload or the notebooks that we're hoping to retrieve. So we'll put it into just a raw string for now. Go ahead and read all of the content on the response object. And then we can also do a check to see whether the response was in fact successful. So if the call came back okay, the HTTP status code of okay should come back. If not, then we'll start off with the error condition, go ahead and just write the status code out to the device, and just write out the raw payload as well. Obviously, in a real production application, we'd be a little bit more rigorous in our error handling, maybe trap the type of error, possibly do a retry, for example, or display it to the user in a more friendly manner. But for development purposes here, we'll just write everything out raw. If the call is successful, though, then we want to go ahead and parse the JSON result that comes back. So remember, I'm using the JSON.NET library, and we want to go ahead and deserialize that payload. However, we need to define now what exactly we're going to deserialize that object type into. So a way to get this is to go to the Apigee console that we can use to call the OneNote API. We're going to the beta API version here, and we're going to go ahead and access the notebook's endpoint. What this will do is give us the raw output of the JSON that comes back. This will obviously be for whatever user you've logged in here. I happen to be using the same user. But the contents of the response are less critical than the actual structure of the response, which is what we want. So I'm going to copy out that response and then head over to another website here, JSON2C#. So that's JSON, the number 2, and then the full words, CSHRP.com. And what this tool will do is let us go ahead and paste in some JSON, and based on the structure that comes back, give us a C# set of classes that we can use to go ahead and deserialize that return. So in my program, I've created a container class here called NotebooksResponse that I've left empty, and I'm just going to paste in the result that comes back from that website. And this is a representation of the deserialized JSON object that's going to come back. The root object contains a property to define the actual data context. Unfortunately, the name is a little bit difficult for the tool to parse, so we're just going to specify that the JSON property that comes back is that @odata.contextName. So the deserializer will know what to do with it, but we can give it a more friendly name like context in this case. In addition, the value that comes back for the actual notebooks, or the list of notebooks in this case, also comes back just with a name of value there. So we'll change that into a more friendly name. Let's call the collection of notebooks notebooks. And in addition, the individual type, instead of value, we'll go ahead and call that notebook as well. And then the last change I'm going to do here, just to make things show up better in the list box, is to go ahead and override the toString method for the notebook and, for example, insert the name and possibly also just the created by for the author of the notebook there too. Obviously, you can change this to whatever you want, but just something to see that everything's working correctly. So if I go back to my application and define now the type that we want to deserialize, it's under the notebooks response class, and it's the root object class that we're ultimately going to be returning here. Off of that root object should hopefully be the collection of notebooks defined for the logged in user. So into the list box, onto the items source, I'm going to go ahead and bind all of the notebooks that come back. And once that's done, we'll just go ahead and clear out the info text block and just set a blank message there. At this point, any notebooks that come back should be bound on the screen, and the user should be able to go ahead and select one of the notebooks. So the next step is to go ahead and wire up the selection changed event handler here, and when the user does select one of the notebooks, to go ahead and bring back all the sections in that notebook. So the first thing we want to do is get a reference to the actual notebook that was selected. So on the selection changed event, we can get the added items here. I've set that only a single item can be selected, so accessing item 0 is fine in this case. Again, of course, you can do more robust error handling, but we'll keep things simple for now. And with that done, I can create a new method here to get all of the sections inside of the newly selected notebook. Now the code for this is going to be virtually identical to the get notebooks code. So I'm going to copy all of that and paste it in here and make the few changes that are required. The one thing we need to do is change the endpoint. Of course, this time we want to get the sections inside the notebook. So I'll use that endpoint. But if you recall, there was a token inside there, and that is for the actual notebook ID. So we'll do a string.format there, replace that token with the actual ID of the selected notebook. And this should go ahead and get access to all of the sections inside of that notebook. Let's change a variable name here to something that reflects that a bit better. And we'll go ahead and pass that request in, deal with the response, obviously do the async changes here too, and then access the deserialized object that comes back. Now, just to save us some time, you've seen the process of going ahead and creating a deserializable type there. So I've gone and done that work already to save us a bit of time in this video, and I've called it the notebook's section response, and obviously there's a root object defined off of there as well. I've done the changes for the properties, and I've also done a toString on there as well. Once that's done, we can go ahead and handle the deserialization and pass in all of the sections that come back into the sections list box. And the very last bit of code we're going to write here is on the selection list box select change. So the user's now gone ahead and actually selected one of the sections in the notebook. Let's get a reference to that. And finally, we'll just write a message out to the user here, telling them which section was actually selected. So we can access, for example, the name or any other property, or in this case, we'll just do the toString. Okay, let's run our application. This will fire up the emulator as expected, so we'll give the emulator a chance to load there, and then of course to go ahead and actually deploy and run our application. Our application loads successfully. We have the ability to go ahead and hit the sign-in button. This will take us to the sign-in capability for the user's Microsoft account. So I'm just going to pause the video for a moment, go ahead and do the login. And we're back from the login, and we can go ahead and run the rest of our application. Now we do need to go ahead and give the application permission to the permission scopes that we requested. So we see the scopes that we requested reflected here, the ability to sign in automatically, the ability to access the information over a longer period of time with refresh tokens, and then the ability to read all the pages in OneNote. And recall, this was the permission scope that we changed as well. So we'll select yes to that permission. Notice that the details of the application that appear here, so the application name, the terms and privacy settings and all of that, are exactly as we configured them when we defined our application in the Microsoft Account Developer Center. So to find out how to do that and to obtain a client ID to call the OneNote API, you can see an earlier video in the series on how to do this for a native application. So we've gone ahead and approved the permissions there, and the sign-in is complete, and we have the ability now to go ahead and get the notebooks for the user. So we have the request execute when I click the button, and we have all of the notebooks coming back. So I can choose the individual notebooks, flip between them, and have the relevant sections for each of those notebooks returned. In this video, we've seen how to go ahead and call the OneNote API to go ahead and get all the notebooks for the user, and then to get all of the sections inside of the notebooks. In a future video, we'll see how to go ahead and create a page inside of a specific notebook based on the selection, for example, that the user's done here. But we've seen that getting the notebooks and getting the sections is a relatively easy operation. Recall, though, that this is currently the beta of the API, so things may change when the API finally gets to a final release. But, of course, you can go ahead to the UserVoice site and submit suggestions on how you'd like to see the API develop over time. One last thing, coming back to the Apigee console, recall, as I mentioned up front, that there were a few different sections inside of the notebook, but two of them were contained inside of a section group. We haven't dealt with section groups in this video, but the concepts are identical. We can go to the Apigee console, go ahead and get the definitions for what those section groups look like, create a definition for those classes in our application, and then call the section groups API exactly as you've done for the sections. This has been Hilton Guisano. Thanks for watching.